Hi, everybody. We're back.
Uh-oh.
It's What's the Point, a podcast from Trinity Lutheran Church in Eau Claire, Wisconsin. And I'm Heather, and with me today are...
Katie.
And Tom.
Hi, friends. We could shout out someone else who thought maybe they were going to join us today, but isn't here.
Yeah.
So we miss you, Pastor Patrick.
Yes.
It's fine.
It's fine. It is.
Okay, before we get started today... As we are recording this, so I know this will come out. When will this come out, Katie? This week?
Yeah.
Okay.
Wednesday.
Okay. So we're recording this and it will come out just before Thanksgiving.
Yes.
So what I want to know is, okay, you have two questions to choose from. Either I want to hear your favorite Thanksgiving side dish. Or do you have like a Thanksgiving tradition or something that you always do on Thanksgiving that you're looking forward to? So... Katie, you get to start.
Okay. Okay. Perfect. My favorite Thanksgiving side dish is, it kind of flip-flops every year for what I'm, you know, most excited for. This year, weirdly enough, I'm excited for the cranberries.
Tell me about the cranberries. Do you have the sauce straight out of the can?
Okay. Because, because I'm lazy.
Wait.
What?
Do you like the cranberries when you pour it out and it's an actual sauce? Or you like... The molded, it
molded. Like you can see the ridges.
In the, I like that. I literally bought an ornament, a cranberry sauce ornament for my Christmas tree of cranberries coming out of a can.
Nice.
Because that's how much I love them.
Wow.
Yep. However, Jake's dad, so Jake is my fiance for those who don't know, Jake's dad makes some bomb cranberry sauce and I really want to get his recipe because they were, that's like all I ate last year.
That was so good.
It was so good.
Just Thanksgiving.
Just Thanksgiving.
Cranberry sauce.
I had a little bit of turkey and probably like the majority of the cranberry sauce.
Nice.
Wow.
Yep.
Yeah.
But I am hoping too that Jake and I can kind of start a little tradition. This year we're staying home for Thanksgiving, just the two of us. And so I know. So I get to make dinner. He is making the no-bake mini cheesecakes though, because that's like his specialty, I guess.
Okay.
I don't know. But I get to make the dinner and I'm really excited. Yeah.
Yay.
Yeah.
Awesome. I struggle with favorite side dish or tradition. I'm going to go with tradition and it, takes place on Black Friday, the day after.
Oh no.
We put up our fake Christmas tree.
Oh, fair.
Yes.
And I enjoy that because when we were in North Dakota, we would always decorate before Christmas, so we'd come home after a Thanksgiving break with family, and Christmas would be set up.
Oh, sorry. So you would decorate before Thanksgiving?
Yep, we would decorate before Thanksgiving.
Before Christmas. Okay.
Sorry,
okay.
Thank you. You would decorate before Thanksgiving.
Okay.
So that when we arrived home, Christmas would already be set up. So that's nice and fun.
Yeah.
But now that we are close to family and family often visits us, the day after Thanksgiving, it's like, take all the stuff down. It's Christmas.
Yeah, that's fair.
So I am in the process of putting up Christmas lights this week.
Okay.
So if you hear about a pastor that falls off a roof.
Please don't do that.
Might be me.
Please don't do that.
I'm climbing up on the tallest peak of the house now. So
please don't do that.
See, my tree has been up now for probably a couple weeks.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, I got, this is our
Can we mute Katie right now? Is there a mute button?
Here's the thing. This is the first tree I've ever had since moving out of my parents' house, so I got a little bit excited.
Oh.
And yeah, so Jake was like, okay, that's fine. But that's the only thing we have up so far. Nothing else.
Wait, does it have ornaments and things on it too?
Yes. Oh, tinsel, wow. Ornaments.
Full on.
Whoa, yeah. Tinsel?
Yeah.
You are psycho.
Well, here's the thing. It's not like a very full tree. It was a cheap tree. So it's not a super full tree.
So you
got to
put stuff on it.
Yeah. So the tinsel helps make it a little bit more full.
There you go.
I am ekthrombos right now.
I have no idea what that means, but I'm happy.
Sorry.
For
I was
you.
Nerding out on Greek a couple weeks ago.
Of course you were.
Okay. Heather.
All right, Heather.
Yeah.
What's your tradition and or favorite side dish?
Okay. I'll do and. My favorite side dish that I think everyone in my family loves, and so like I've just started making like bigger and bigger casserole of it, is this sweet potato cranberry bake that's like canned sweet potatoes with cranberries on it, and then like a brown sugar oatmeal topping on it with some marshmallows that you put on and melt the last couple of minutes, and it is so good. So good. Oh. And it's going to be great with our Thanksgiving meal this year, which will not include turkey. My family decided they would rather have my meatloaf. So that's what we're doing for Thanksgiving.
All right. Thanksgiving at Heather's. Done deal. Jake, uh-huh. I'm so sorry. I love uh-huh. you, but we're going to Heather's.
So the cranberries.
Yeah.
Canned cranberries?
Or no. Fresh, no. Fresh cranberries. Either fresh or frozen. Fresh but or like frozen. Whole cranberries.
Okay. So yeah. Whole. So we're not yep. saucing it up.
No, it's not okay. a sauce.
Okay.
No. It so is. It's, but it's not hard to make. My kids, so one of my kids made it last year. Yeah. Like this is, we love it. So that's the favorite side dish. Tradition. We have like changed how we've celebrated a lot. Like we used to go to family and then we had a number of years where we did like Friendsgiving with some college friends. And now I have a kid in college and high school and all the things. And so we're just home and it's just us. But without fail, I will watch the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade and get mad at my family if they like turn it, well, they would never turn it off. But mm-hmm. like if they like need me for something, mm-hmm. be like, I'm sorry, I'm watching the parade. I need to see all the musicals that are performing and I need to see all the lip syncing people that I don't know who they are on the floats. And I just, it gives Lucy, me so much
Lucy,
joy.
Who's this?
So much joy.
Are you going to keep your eye out for, Fletcher's not in it this year. Dang no. it, that was last
there,
year.
There are some memorial are there? Kids. Yeah, I think okay. four.
Oh, that'll okay. be in the band?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Very cool. Yeah.
And Mayo Clinic's very own, one of them, a nurse practitioner in the family practice unit, will be holding the Pikachu.
What?
Oh, that's balloon? Cool.
Yeah, the Pikachu balloon.
Count me in. That's the best
so
one already.
So look for Jen out there.
Oh, we'll be looking.
Jen Laguerre, look okay. out. Shout out to Jen Laguerre.
That's
awesome. Awesome that's nurse so practitioner cool. for all anyone who's looking for kiddos.
Yeah, right?
Kiddos that need care.
Awesome.
Love it.
All right. School okay.
We'll edit that out.
Okay. Okay, but let's get on topic here. So the last couple.
There's an elephant in the room, really.
I did write that in the notes, didn't
you
I?
Did. You did. There is.
Well, okay. So the last couple weeks, we've been talking about kind of changing church, right? And we mm-hmm. talked about big church versus small church and different models of sizes of church and church trends was our last episode and kind of membership and how that has changed over the years. And we kind of teed up our topic for today, which is what does this mean for Trinity? Mm-hmm. And yeah, when I made notes for this, I started off with the elephant in the room, which is Trinity has already changed.
Surprise.
Right? So like we know that there aren't as many people in worship on Sunday mornings yep. as there mm-hmm. used to be. Yep. And we know that the budget looks different than mm-hmm. it used to. Mm-hmm. And yeah, fewer members in general. And like, that's the elephant in the room that I feel like we need to start with.
Yeah.
It's like, no one is ignorant mm-hmm. about this fact mm-hmm. that yeah. like.
And may I add, staff has changed too.
Oh yeah, a whole
staff,
lot.
Staff
a
has lot. Certainly changed. Not yeah. just who is here, but how many people are here.
Yeah, for sure.
Yep.
Yeah.
So perhaps I might start by saying, yes, there are less people mm-hmm. attending worship. Yeah, and that's okay. Mm-hmm. The budget is shrinking. Mm-hmm. I think we could say that. Just the offering is down yep. from what Trinity has been accustomed to
yep.
pre-COVID. Mm-hmm. We've lost a lot of members. There's folks that have moved away,
mm-hmm.
at which people move for whatever yep. reason. I think there was a lot of... I just think a shift for at least in my neighborhood, there were a lot of people that moved away to be closer to family. Mm. Like COVID was yeah. this big thing. Like, I need to be closer to family.
Hmm.
Even if they just moved to Madison or the Twin Cities, it was, I want to be helpful to my kids.
Yeah.
So a lot of grandparents or early retirees left my neighborhood.
Interesting.
We've had some death. Like I think in the past 2 months, we've had
so many
funerals.
Yeah.
We've got one this week. We've got one next week. Like, there's been a lot of death.
Yeah.
But we've also lost members for ideological reasons.
For sure. Mm-hmm.
You know, I think Trinity was not the most conservative coming back to being unmasked and removing restrictions as far as gathering every other pew, things like that. Not the most conservative, but I'd say in the middle of the road as far as ELCA churches in the Chippewa Valley. Mm-hmm. And I think some people didn't like that and they left.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So those are some of the perhaps causations for a shrinking in membership. But also, like we've talked about in the past couple episodes, people perhaps are not finding worship as meaningful or that they can worship in other ways. Mm-hmm. And Patrick had this, I think, Katie, you had talked about it too, about people aren't being selfish by not going to worship, but they're listening to their bodies and their minds of what they need most.
Yeah.
And so perhaps a hectic, crazy weekend of traveling for soccer and basketball, perhaps Sabbath rest might mean staying home and having breakfast with your family and not the madness of getting ready for church and going. Now, folks might be ready to argue that you still need to make time for God, but I think, you know, there are vocational callings to be a good parent as well and to care for your family. Anyways, I digress.
Yeah. Well, I just wanted to, I appreciate all that. And I just really wanted to talk about this because I know that we in, you know, on this podcast have all heard people at Trinity, you know, name that like, oh, where are all the people? Yeah. Where are all the kids? Mm-hmm. Which they're here. Mm-hmm. You know, or name that kind of that reality. Mm-hmm. And I just always think to myself, right, but it's not just us. Right. Like, this is a greater, it's bigger than just Trinity.
Right.
Well,
that's something that I'm getting a lot both last week, and I've already gotten a call about it today, about our Thanksgiving dinner and how we used to have this really, you know, great and big, from the sounds of it, Thanksgiving dinner. And people have been really sad to hear that we're not doing it, and they ask why, and I said it's the people. Like, we just don't have the people who are coming to worship, who want to volunteer, whatever. And I, you know, I try to make it known to them, like, this is a common theme amongst, like, any church you're gonna go to, really.
Well, and not just churches. You know, you if you're in any other organization that is, especially one that's volunteer dependent, you know, like I am co-chairing the show choir competition at Altoona in January, the last Saturday in January, Locapalooza at Altoona High School. It's great. But, you know, it's hard to get volunteers for that. Yep. So it's, I think, and that's one of the things that I think does come from COVID, is people kind of listening to their bodies and recognizing, like, oh, I can't actually do all these things and be healthy in the ways that I need to be.
So does, and this has just come out of left field for me, what does a healthier church look like if we are listening to our mental and physical needs and spiritual needs? If Trinity was perhaps in our culture stretched beyond what was healthy, what does healthy look like then? I think we retract a little bit. We can't do all the things.
Right.
We have to pick and choose. And perhaps that's more of what all church is trying to figure out, instead of being, I think Ashley Olson talked about this, about being, you know, a mile wide and an inch deep, but how do we provide more depth and substance to who Trinity is as a faith community? And live into that and be okay saying, no, that's not what we're being called to do right now.
Right.
And being okay with that.
Yeah.
And some of that, there comes loss. And that's, for sure. And I think that's the hard part for a lot of folks. Yes. It's like using this Thanksgiving dinner as an example. Like, yeah, it sounded like a great thing, but that ministry of a Thanksgiving dinner for people in need or just people coming together as community, it didn't fail. It's just the life of it is just finished.
Yeah.
And so it's being resurrected in other ways.
Yeah.
And that's really hard. I think a lot about, there was some visioning retreat, sometime in the last 10 years, that my husband Herschel was at. So he told me about it. I wasn't there, but he was talking about, you know, these, it was all people from Trinity who were kind of looking at You know, what are the opportunities? I think it is maybe a SWOT analysis.
Wait, opportunities? My favorite word.
It is your favorite word.
It is.
One we've come to dread. But but yeah, what are the opportunities? What are the new things on the horizon for Trinity? And what are the things that are ready to die and that are ready to be finished? And there's so many ideas for new things.
Yeah.
And no one could name things that we're ready to die. Mm. And that's just not realistic, right? Especially when you're talking about fewer people, you know, whether it's on staff or volunteers. So yeah, but it is really hard. I mean, that is grief for sure.
Oh,
like
and I
recognize that, you know, working with the children's ministry, like there have been a lot of things that we have had to let die in the last 10 years, you know, neither of you were around for the Advent workshop, which a lot of people talk about this time of year. It was always the Sunday after Thanksgiving, and it was, you know, 30 different people bringing in crafts, and it was a free event, and it was this bustling Trinity room full of kids doing crafts and snacks, and it was a wonderful event, and my family came to it every year, and we have, you know, a collection of plates that we made for years, and it was really meaningful. And also, it required a lot of volunteers and a lot of time, and it required people to head it up. Mm-hmm. And it's one of those things that we haven't brought back since, I think it went up until COVID, and we just haven't brought it back because there is not capacity to do that. And it's sad. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is sad to look at, you know, my stack of plates that we made thinking, oh, we're not going to have a complete set.
Right.
Because we're not going to finish, you know, we're not. That doesn't keep going.
Right.
But it's reality. And it's hard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I see that being resurrected a little bit. We do have like the ornament making.
Yep.
That we're doing.
Yep.
In next week? 2 weeks. Two
Sundays. The first Sunday of Advent.
Yeah.
December 3rd.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But more than that. The children, youth, and family first Sundays, which is if you haven't been around or read a newsletter or a weekly e-blast or, sorry, it is the first Sunday of every month. Instead of having kids go to Sunday school, there's a family experience learning about something specific. For example, we talked about communion in November, so there was like communion wafer, bread, juice, taste testing throughout the Trinity room. There were crafts and activities. Mm-hmm. And so families are being intentional about doing things together every month.
Mm-hmm.
And it's doable because we have a set amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
And it just seems like an Advent workshop, but on a more sustainable level. And kids and families do it together often.
Yeah.
Which, to me, is the most beautiful thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So we don't need to have this big, crazy hullabaloo, but a more meaningful, something with more depth to it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. Maybe I'm talking out of turn at school.
No, I think you're right. And I think that in, you know, when I'm thinking about ministry events and what we need to hold on to and what we need to let go of. Yeah, that's one of the reasons why we got into that. It's like, this is a time when families are already here. Same with the doing the ornaments on a Sunday morning. Families are already here and recognizing that families are really busy and needing to hold on to that Sabbath wherever they can. And so asking them to come back and come back and come back isn't maybe the best way to do things anymore. So it's looking at, okay, what are the models that we have had established for decades maybe and re-examining them and saying, okay, is this still working? Is it working for everyone? Is it working for me? Is it working for families? Is it working for the rest of Trinity?
Right.
And that, but it's really hard to kind of reevaluate things, especially when they are beloved things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So moving forward, it seems like Trinity, our biggest shift is learning how to be okay scaling down.
Yeah.
I mean, and maybe that's the elephant in the room. Like, we just need to learn how to be a smaller church.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean that we're not being faithful witnesses to the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But rather the next, as Bishop Laurie Scow Anderson talks about, the next most faithful step for Trinity is perhaps a step backward for evaluating things and then moving forward in that, some more stuff Patrick and I always say, God's preferred future.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe God's preferred future isn't doing all the things, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just doing less with more intentionality. And I think part of like our small groups that we're trying to get started might seem like scattered and we're doing trying to do more, but I think we're trying to create more relationships. Mm-hmm. And I think that's perhaps a good faithful next step of establishing relationships with one another. Anyways,
can I just, the one thing that's just sitting on my head that I just need to say out loud. I am quite certain that God's preferred future does not include burning out our staff and pastors.
What?
Mm. By trying to still do all the things we've always done with fewer volunteers and fewer staff.
Yeah.
So that I just need to say that out loud.
Yeah.
Well, from a rostered leader perspective, Trinity usually has four.
We did have four for a number of years.
Four pastors.
Uh-huh.
And now there's two pastors and a deacon. Mm-hmm. And Deacon Lidase is working with Trinity in a unique role, part of our vision, our new vision. Well, it's not new. It's a couple years old. But our vision work we did, and that's more for advocacy and working with our neighbors in the community. So she's doing great work with that. We just don't see it all the time, but she's establishing relationships. And she does so many health fairs. Oh my goodness.
So many.
Yeah, and just the partnership she has with the Eau Claire Health Department, working with teens, like we just don't know all the things she's doing, but it's amazing work. So on a day-to-day, you might just see Pastor Patrick or myself. And then from a staff perspective as well, we have less.
Mm-hmm.
And so the expectation of doing all the things is just not realistic.
No.
And that, again, like we've talked about, it causes grief because some things are just finished.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't mean Trinity is not here doing good things.
Right. It just means we're constantly having to reevaluate and hopefully be intentional and I don't know what the word I'm looking for, it, but a way that we're being prayerful about it and being, you know, really looking for what is God's preferred future and how do we figure that out? And it's not just me sitting in my office, you know, typing away. It's talking to people and it's being in prayer and
being in the community, doing things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, that's just a new kind of, maybe not new, but I do think we need to be intentional, all of us, about kind of seeing where is God at work and what's our role here. And that might be in new ways, which I think is exciting.
I do too.
Personally.
I do too. I think, how do I want to word this? I've always known, before working here, I've always known Trinity as the church that just kind of does it all and is really big and whatever. And it's kind of nice coming in from, you know, I've only been here about a year and a half, and so still learning some things. But it's kind of nice to just see the staff kind of take a step back and say to themselves, like, we really don't have to do it all. And that's okay. And I'm just really hopeful that the congregation follows suit with that.
So what is the future for Trinity? That's the question, right? What is the future? We've talked about it in kind of generalities here, but what do you think the future holds for Trinity?
Well, I know I get excited when I see the nursery on Sunday morning with a dozen kids in there and a lot of them newer families. That tells me that there's something happening at Trinity that people from outside the congregation are noticing or seeing and saying, I want to be a part of that. So whatever that is hopeful to me that like there is a future for Trinity, even if it's with some different people and maybe different demographics and different activities. That tells me that there is a future.
Yeah.
And that, yeah.
I'm excited. I think jumping or using that as well, there's a, maybe Patrick has mentioned it, there's a younger couple that has moved to Eau Claire recently, and they said, we have never seen so many young people mm-hmm. in mm-hmm. worship. And they've bounced around the state of Wisconsin the last handful of years. Mm-hmm. And they said, there are so many people our age here, which I'm looking out and they're like, what are you talking about? But there are people that are under the retirement age here, and they mm-hmm. feel a sense of belonging and community in that respect. Mm-hmm. So that I think that also gives me hope. Mm-hmm. Something I really am excited about is some of our youth. Like, we're going to the youth mm-hmm. gathering this coming summer.
Yeah.
And we had a confirmation event over at St. John's Lutheran Church. And Dave Shear / Agape and Joe Davis were in town doing a presentation and a worship service. And there was a new song from Agape, again, / Dave. And it was slower, and it was really cool to see some of those eighth graders who are going to the youth gathering, like, put their arms around each other's shoulders and sway, you know, like, back and forth. And I'm like,
oh my gosh.
Which is, like, I'm rolling my eyes and also, like, my heart is melting. Uh-huh. Because these eighth graders are surrounded by probably 150, 200 other people they don't know. Mm-hmm. And yet they find it, that space to be an open, welcoming thing where they can be vulnerable and just listen to the music and be moved by the message Dave was rapping / singing. And I was like, huh, these kids are more open to what God is up to than I am. Because I'm like, Dave, I've probably heard all your stuff except for this. Okay, what kind of corny thing? But they were open to it.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I thought, wow, these kids are giving me a lesson on how to be open to what God is up mm-hmm. to. And so I think our kids get it, even if they might be glued to their phones mm-hmm. half the time.
Yep.
Like us.
Yep.
Yeah.
But they are more open to it than we are, I think. Yeah. And perhaps they need to have a voice at this table of what is God up to mm-hmm. at Trinity.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, speaking of kids, I also want to say a hopeful thing for me is, you know, doing some new things. Like, we just moved the youth room into a more prominent space and took some classrooms that hadn't been used all that much. And made it into a new youth room. And I was anticipating that there would be pushback to that. Mm-hmm. And I haven't heard pushback. I've heard leadership at Trinity excited about that. Mm-hmm. And like, yes, great idea. And so, that's just one example of, you know, our leadership being open to change and doing things differently and seeing the value mm-hmm. in that mm-hmm. and recognizing, like, yes, we're all members of Trinity here. We don't need to hide the teenagers away in the back room because we don't want to hear them. Right. Like, we're all here together. And that doesn't mean that we're, you know, devaluing the older folks who have maybe been here for a long time mm-hmm. and done some great things. It just means, like, you know, we're open to doing things differently.
Yeah.
And that, I think, bodes well for our future.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's this, I think, a posture of being what Bishop Terry Brandt talked about as holy experiments.
And
having that creative mindset that it's okay to grow and to fail and to try again. Like, if we can't just say, oh, it's not working, we're done. Mm-hmm. We need to just be open to what God is working on and be okay if things don't work.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And learning from that.
Yeah. And learning. And I think that's what I too am excited about from our leadership standpoint. Like, we're going to try like this dinners for eight thing starting in 2024. So read about it more in your newsletter. Mm-hmm. But like, okay, a holy experiment. Here we go. Let's try it. Mm-hmm. Why not?
Yeah.
Well, the worst thing that's going to happen is, well, it didn't work. Some mm-hmm. folks got together for dinner and had conversation.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Right.
Forced interaction.
Right.
Katie, what are you excited for Trinity's future?
That's a really good question. And I've been, as you guys are talking, I've just been pondering that myself. And I think I just really feel like there's a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes that people don't necessarily know about or get to see. And there's new, I don't know if I want to call it leadership or ownership, I think, but I see, like, from my perspective, and I can talk about this a little bit too, in the context of the sound booth or the tech booth, you know, there are people who are really wanting to take that ownership of yes, there's like I'm still there and I'm setting schedules for people and whatever, but there's excitement to be back there by what? Not just the people who are there, but also by like kids who are in, you know, 6th, 7th grade and looking for something to do.
Wait, and we're letting them?
And we're letting them.
I don't know. They might break something.
You know, they might. And if they do, we'll cross that bridge when we get there. But
if we get there.
If we get there. Hopefully we don't. Right. Right? But no, they've been so great and excited. That's awesome. And I think that alone gives me hope for Trinity, is that there's still people who want to be involved even if we don't see it blatantly in front of our faces.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm just going to shout out real quick Pat Mertens and the Care for Creation team, yes, as an example. Like, they're a small team who is passionate,
yeah,
about making changes for good at Trinity and in the world. Mm-hmm. And they have worked to clean up the woods, and they have, mm-hmm, talked about changing our garbage carrier and gotten the preschool composting, yeah, and, you know, read poetry about, mm-hmm, a tree with VBS kids.
So cute.
And, you know, and they have seen, like, this is where God is leading us. God is calling us to care for creation in, mm-hmm, this way. And they're following that. Mm-hmm. And that is exciting to me too. And there's no pastor or staff who is like really a part of that. I mean, they're listening and helping, yeah, where they can, but like they're not a part of that group. Right. And so it's just these members taking that on themselves. And, mm-hmm, I think that's amazing.
Mm-hmm. That's kind of been my biggest thing, is that yes, we have lost a lot in a lot of ways, but we are also gaining a lot in a lot of, yeah, ways. And I am hopeful that people will be able to see that, because it's fun. It's really cool, yeah, from a staff perspective to see all that's going on that we might not even fully be a part of.
Mm-hmm.
All right, everybody. Well, I am so thankful for this conversation and the series, because I think, as our notes say, it's kind of been an elephant in the room for Trinity, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. Things aren't the same, but we're moving into a new future, and I'm hopeful and optimistic for what God is up to in you all, in this place, and it shouldn't leave us in a posture of lament, but of hopeful expectation that God is and will continue to work through, mm-hmm, through this ministry here that God's given us at Trinity.
Mm-hmm.
So everyone, thank you so much for listening to this series about, yeah, from What's the Point, about kind of just the new exciting church that's emerging out of, mm-hmm, COVID.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I really liked episode one, so revisit, yes, that and the church models.
That's just because you got to talk about poop a lot.
Okay, but we didn't talk about... But okay, so caveat. Another exciting thing happened last week.
Oh,
not poop related. I got to deal, yeah, with roadkill in the parking lot.
Oh, we'll save that, gosh,
for another podcast. So if you want to hear about Pastor Tom, Pastor Patrick, and our senior choir director Gary Rambo deal with roadkill, just you wait. For Katie and for Heather, this has been What's the Point. I am excited for our December series that is coming out.
I'm so excited.
It is called, drumroll, A Very Bonhoeffer Christmas.
Oh my gosh, so nerdy. I'm so excited.
It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to talk about Advent and Christmas, and of course, German theologian and I would say martyr, Dietrich Bonhoeffer.
Yeah.
So we'll catch you in December, everyone. Have a great Thanksgiving. Eat your
sweet potato cranberries with marshmallows and brown sugar.
And I'm trying to just wrap my head around Katie's thing, the gelatinized cranberry.
I'm eating more than that, too. Don't worry. I'm just really excited.
Got to see it to believe it. All right, everyone, have a great Thanksgiving, and we'll see you around.
Bye.
Bye.